our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we continue our sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and as we do so, we'll be talking about names, particularly God's name. So in his book entitled Good Friends and Foolish People, Dale Carnegie wrote that the sweetest sound to the human ear is the sound of one's own name. And think about it, in so many instances, this is true. Think about, if you're feeling lost, or you're suffering under some tremendous anxiety, you're feeling like you're forgotten or you've been abandoned. When you're alone and when you're frightened, there's no sweeter sound than for someone who is near to call out your name. Our names are important. Our names identify who we are. They identify who we are, they tell people about where we come from. Frequently, we will hear people say statements such as, I'm no good with names, but I certainly remember faces. Or perhaps, it sure would be nice to be able to put a face with the name. But you know what? People aren't their faces. Like I was showing some of the pictures to the children here from our church directory, a lot of us in the directory don't look the same any longer. Some of us do, but a lot of us have changed. Our faces change over time. But the one thing that remains constant is our name. Our name that's given to us when we're born stays with us the rest of our life. We use our name for lots of things, but the thing that our name is most useful for is pinpointing our exact place in history. Pinpointing that time in which we live, pinpointing that place in which we are. We can trace our roots through our family trees. You can go ahead and send an email to ancestry.com, give them your name and a couple other things. They can tell you all about your family centuries ago. Our names give us a glimpse of who we truly are. When people know our name, all of a sudden we become recognizable. If they just see our face, they say, oh, it's that person. If they know our name, we become recognizable. We become identifiable. We become a person to them. That's how relationships are established. Think about it. You can't be in a relationship with somebody unless you know their name. Each week, we hear the words, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's the invocation at the beginning of our worship. That's the name we invoke as we gather to sing our praises and thanksgivings to God. It's the initial liturgical movement of the church. It's that initial movement in which we live into that promise that Christ made himself, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Each week we hear these words said over us. We're gathered in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But are these just simply words that we use to begin our worship service? Are these just simply things that we say because they're written in our bulletin? Or do we ever take time to pause and realize it can mean a whole lot more? Throughout Holy Scripture, God identifies himself. He identifies himself to those whom he has made known. Those whom he's made to be his children, his own people. Way back at the onset of Exodus, when Moses saw the burning bush up there on the mountain, and he went up to investigate, God called out to Moses from the burning bush. And in that conversation that he had with Moses, Moses asked him his name, and God told him, I am who I am. The divine name of God himself. I am who I am. Later, on another mountain, as Jesus was gathered with his disciples just before he was taken up into heaven,
He gave the disciples the authority to teach, to make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them God's name. He gives his name to his people. He gives his name to those we call to know, in order that we might live in a personal, loving relationship with our God. Not live as in a relationship as creator and creature, but in a relationship as a father to a child. God places his name upon us. He places his name on the tips of our tongues so that we might use his name, that we might call out to God like a child would call out to a loving parent. God gives us his name. And when he does this, he gives us so much more. Think about what we have when we have God's name. All of a sudden, we have access. We have access to the Father. Jesus encourages us to pray to the Father. We have access to the Father. We have access to his mercy and to his grace. As we call out God by his name, all of a sudden we receive knowledge of his word. We receive knowledge of the things that Jesus taught and commanded. We receive recognition as God's people. Calling out to God by name reminds us that we have this heritage that goes way back beyond anything that we can begin to trace through things like Ancestry.com. We are connected to the great heritage of God's people forever. We can trace our roots all the way back to our parents, Adam and Eve. He connects us with the past. He connects us with the saints of old. Knowing God's name makes us one with him and makes us one with them forever and ever. And then on Sunday mornings, gathered in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God gives us access to forgiveness. We confess our sins. Those secrets that we try to hide from God, but we can't, there's no secrets hidden from our Father. So we confess the totality of our sinfulness. And we receive absolution. Gathered in God's name, we hear the Holy Scriptures read to us. We sing the Psalms. We hear the gospel interpreted and preached to us. Through baptism, God places his name upon us, upon his people, so we can enjoy all the benefits of a right relationship with our Creator. Forgiveness of sins. The promise of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, faith so that we can believe. Repentant sinners, come to God's table of grace to receive the bread, the wine, the means by which God extends these gifts to us. Certainly, when you think about those words, we gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Certainly, as we realize that we are recipients of the divine name of God, we are bound by the second commandment to rightly call upon God's name. We are bound by the second commandment to rightly call upon the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Last week, as we began this summer sermon series on the Ten Commandments, we did so and we learned that God so long ago made a decision about every one of us. God made a decision right at the very beginning. God decided he was going to be our God and we were going to be his people. God decided that he would send his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save us from our sins. He decided that he would give eternal life to all those who believe that Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world. Today, with the second commandment, we learn even more about our loving Almighty God. He's a God that calls people unto himself. He is the God who identifies himself with his people. His name tells us who he is. I am who I am. God says, I am the one who exists. I am the one who always existed. I am the one who will exist forever. God also says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God who is ever intertwined with his people. In Scripture, God says his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Certainly, he is the God who dwells with his people. He dwells with all those who call them to himself. We learn in Scripture, in the Gospels, that when Christ was born, he was given the name Jesus, the name that the angel told Mary and Joseph that he would have. His name is Jesus because it means God saves. God just doesn't give us his name. He accomplishes his name. He saves his people from their sin. Having been given God's name, we are called into a relationship with him. And so with deepest respect, with the highest regard, we are to use God's name rightly. In Exodus 20 we read, with the second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Sounds pretty straightforward. But sadly, we're sinful people. And because we're sinful people, we break the Ten Commandments so often. We are so apt to fail at keeping the second commandment. We do it so often that we don't even realize we're doing it. In his small catechism, Martin Luther explains the commandment this way. He says, we should fear and love and trust in God that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Yet we sinful people continue to misuse God's name. The most frequent misuse of God's name is when we use it so frivolously. Today, you know, it's going to be warm. And today, you know, some of us are likely to say, oh my God, it's hot outside. Or somebody could cut us off in traffic and we would say, what in God's name do you think you're doing? Using God's name in such a way is simply to reduce it as a means of misguided speech. We know it's wrong, but in the heat of the moment, almost by surprise, it comes out. And we use it in such a way. Another misuse of God's name that's frequent and habitual and happens so often is when we use it to support our cause, our own cause, our own position, or we want to prop up a statement that we want other people to believe. It may sound far-fetched, but it's true, I swear to God. You ever done that? Probably a time or two. Using God's name in this way is to use it for no good purpose. It only lends to our own credibility, which discredits us when we use it in such a way, because it's a sinful use of God's name. And a third way that we so often use God's name in vain, a way that is just rolls off the tip of our tongue and we don't realize we've said it until after the words are out there, is to use it superstitiously. Now most of us would say we don't believe in superstitions and we would never do that. But please, God, let the Gamecocks win at least one national championship in football. People use phrases like that. Please, God, let this be your will. Please, God, if I can only have, please, God, if I can only just. You see who's at the center of that argument? It's not God. It's we sinful human beings. Behind all of these examples lies a sinful condition of we faulty, broken human beings. embracing the decision God made about us so long ago to be our God and to make us his people. But knowing God also means that we know who he is and we know that we can call upon him. Even asking forgiveness for those times when we misuse his name. Knowing God means knowing the one who created the heavens and the earth. Knowing God means knowing the one who sent his son to suffer on the cross, to take upon the weight of our sin, that we might not be found guilty, that we might be forgiven, and that we might be justified, rescued, and forgiven of all these shortcomings. Knowing God and knowing his name means that we can receive his mercy and his grace. Knowing God and knowing his name knows that, means that we know that we have a Holy Spirit who sanctifies us in God's sight, makes us holy in God's sight. God no longer sees our sin. He sees us for the people he created us to be. Knowing God's name means being in a relationship with our Heavenly Father and believing that these promises are most certainly true. People of God, our God doesn't give us his name lightly. He doesn't give us his name so that we can just toss it around with the drop of a hat. God identifies himself. Identifies himself so that we can come to him in every need, in every time of trouble. He gives us his name that we might thank him for all the blessings that he pours down upon us. He gives us his name so that we can praise him and pray to him and give him honor and blessing for all the blessings of his kingdom. God gives us his name so that we too might be identified as children of our Heavenly Father, created in his image and likeness. Yet as we grow older, our faces change with time. As we grow older, our memories might begin to fade. There's some names that we'll forget. For others, we'll remember their names, but we won't remember what they look like. But there's one thing that will always remain constant. We will always, forever, be known as God knows us. We will always, forever, know God's name. We will enjoy forever the relationship that he established so long ago. A relationship formed in steadfast love. A relationship shared by all of God's people forever. And we know this because truly, as we gather together, as we come for worship, as we come for fellowship, as we come to just be with the people of God, we remember that as we gather, Jesus is there in the midst of us. And so we gather in the name of the